I have a great third hour for you, including a conversation with LA Ram DB Eric Weddle. That's coming up in about 35 minutes. Meantime, this show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Getting some reaction to the take we had at the end of hour number two. A tennis player who tried to rap and it went badly. Rome. Before I read this email, this guy's email address, again, hawkhasrats@gmail.com. I mean, it's pretty funny, except technically it's not true. He had roaches, not rats. But that guy emails the program from an email address, hawkhasrats@gmail.com. Rome, I haven't heard rapping that bad since I tried to rap my Def Leppard bandmates' Christmas gifts. Yours, Rick Allen. This guy loses an arm, and he's a drummer for a world-famous band, and they don't replace him, and he goes out there with one arm, and he drums. R-A-P-S, not R-A-T-T. S. And why would you clown a guy that suffered something horrific like that and didn't even miss a beat? Didn't blink. You got a problem with him? You obviously got a problem with you. You got a problem with a guy like that and you're going to run junk like that? Your life obviously sucks. It didn't turn out the way you had hoped. You got a problem with Def Leppard? You got a problem with life. Come on, Chad. Dude, I'll overlook the fact that you're walking around telling people your email address is hawkhasrats@gmail.com. Don't you come in here with crap like that. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, how dare Lil Alvy disrespect Into Deep like that? He's trying to help. He's not trying to hurt him. He's not disrespecting anybody. And D-Rod 2203 chases that with, that cat just made William Hung songs good.
She bangs.
She bangs.
Oh, baby, when she moves, I go crazy because she looks like a flop, but she stings like a bee, like every girl in history. She bangs.
Thank you. TFP Will Eat tweets, clones that rap suck. Regards, magician clones. Let's go back to the tennis player, Shapovalov. This is what he tried to do more than once before finally going to the Notes app on his iPhone.
Wait, I wrote it down. I'm here with Kelly, with the fans, getting hella lit. Happy with the win today. Now I got a flow to spit. Loving the support, I leave it all on the court. Fighting like a wolf. I'll be back for more, so take care and good night. Know this, the good life. Hot tubs and court time. Thursday, we back, huh?
Listen to those losers, paid attendees who are fired up by that, who think that's good. So again, I'm not here to hate. I'm here to pick this guy up. So I turned it over to the master himself, Alvin DeLauro. Alvin, is there any way to save this cat?
I can't do it, I'm too tired.
Wait, I wrote it down.
I'm here with Kelly with the fans getting hella lit. Happy with the win today. Now I got a flow to spit. Loving the support, I leave it all on the court. Fighting like a wolf. I'll be back for more, so take care and good night. Know this, the good life. Hot tubs and court time. Thursday, we back.
Good night, bro. We tried. We did our best. All right, so there is no good segue here. There's no way to transition into bad news when we've had a little bit of fun like that. But there is bad news. There has been a death, breaking death in Duval County. The announcement was made via the Jags' official Twitter handle with six simple words. We have released QB Blake Bortles. Now, I know that's not a surprise. I know Axel has been waiting to hit this dude with a time to die for so long that he was on his second oxygen tank and his motorized cart needed a jump. But now that Nick Foles hit that line that is dotted with a pen, the Jags hit Blake with his walking papers. But just because it was not a surprise does not mean that that does not still sting. And just because the Jags are going in another direction does not mean that I'm not going to remember the good times. Listen, now is not the time to point out that the Jags made an all-time terrible bet on Bortles being the guy at quarterback after he game-managed Saxonville's offense to an AFC Championship game 2 years back. Now is not the time to point out that Tom Coughlin got a little too eager to throw a pile of cash at Blake after he won 10 games and finished 24th in completion percentage. Now is not the time for you to run up in here and point out that this guy's career win-loss record is 24-49. Nor is it the time to remind everybody that he's the league leader in interceptions and pick sixes since he's been drafted. Or that he's sandwiched between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown on the active leaderboard for passer rating. Why? Like, there's no need to pile on. There's no need to pile on and remind us of all of that. Me, I prefer to remember the good times. Blake in good times. As an example, remember the time he lost his starting job to Chad Henne? Or how about that time that Blake Bortles lost his starting job to Cody Kessler? Or that time that he was so bad during training camp that former teammate Allen Robinson F-bombed him with this all-time savagery? WR1 saying, quote, "Bleeping, keep the bleep in bounds, bro. Bleep." Or how about that time you won a playoff game by throwing for 87 yards and running for 88? Or remember that time he signed that $54 million contract extension and Leonard Fournette hopped on Twitter to clown him for his halitosis? Quote, "Congrats to you, brother. Now spend some time. No, spend some of that on your mouth. Your breath be killing the huddle, saying the plays." And then, of course, the time he went legend in the jungle with a preseason game so brutal it inspired the queen herself to call in and go legend herself.
"Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the game, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out."
And that call was so good, it got Danica a golden ticket for Smack Off 24 just days after Lef created the SI photo shoot for Smack Off 23. But that's what Blake does. He creates amazing moments, like that time he ran down a couple of teenage hoodlums who were trying to rip his rig right from his driveway. The truck he left unlocked with the keys in it. Yeah, I mean, Blake had that in him. Blake did things like that. But I don't want to think about that. I'm not here to remind you of that. I'm here to remind you not to cry because it's over, but rather to smile because it happened. And then go ahead and do the right thing. Pour one out for Blake. Pour one out for Blake, who is getting paid $6.5 million to not play quarterback for the Jags. It's good work. If you can get it. I'm here to remember the good times. All right, then. Now I've set the tone. Let's keep this thing upbeat. Let's keep it positive. Let's keep it happy. Let's go to, in light of that, let's keep it happy. Let's keep it positive. Let's keep it upbeat. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I myself will practice all of that. And so I can stay true to that, keeping it positive, upbeat, and happy. What the hell? Let's go to Detroit. Josh in Detroit. The Josh in Detroit. Hey, Josh, what's up?
Man, it's been a while, Romy. First, I'd like to say, war the good brothers. Heck yeah, boys. You know, Jim, you're right. Tyler does have a place in the jungle outside of the top 10 in the smacka. And Tyler, the only cup that Edmonton Oilers is going to win in the next 5 years is the one that I wear during the beer league hockey that I play on Friday night.
Oh. That's not a good cup. No. You don't like that cup.
I don't like that cup. Not a very good cup.
Hey, Josh, why are you talking like this now? That's not going to take an ordinarily horrible take and make it a good one. Why are you all of a sudden talking like this now? Hey, Tyler, the only cup that Edmonton will be drinking out of is the one that I'm rocking during my adult league hockey action. Look at me now, rack me, Rome. Dude, why are you talking like that? Better yet, why are you still calling this show? Better yet, why do you think that your smack is so good? I have never seen a guy with worse smack walking around like he's better. I mean, Josh literally is walking around with his chest out like, man, damn, I'm good. I am so good. 1-800-636-8686. This is the guy that glossed James Kelly, the flight deck. He should never have to wait. Eric in Orlando. Eric, how are you? Yo, Eric,
Call
what's
me.
Up?
What's up, buddy? What's up, buddy? Thanks for taking my call, man. Hey, I just want to set the record straight with Matt in L.A. Do you remember when he called after the Patriots won the Super Bowl?
No, dude, he's called me like 8,000 times. How could I possibly remember one call?
Okay, well, anyway, he called, and he wished me, congratulations on the Pats and everything. And then he chimed in about, I bet you Eric in Orlando is tuna fishing on a shrimp boat. I want to clear things up right here and now. I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat called First Light. It was featured in Marlin Magazine in 2018. And wait for it. It's a 65-foot Express Bridge Sport Fisher with twin V12 turbo diesels. And we crushed it last October. We dropped two. We lost one at the swivel. But we boated like three, and they're all in the 500-pound class range. So tell Matt to get his record straight. That's all I got for you, Jimmy.
All right, Eric, you got it. Bro, you must be out there on that super yacht just crushing it. If it took you 6 weeks to tell me about something you did back in October, you must be spending a lot of time out there. But you know what? It doesn't matter because when I put you on, it gives me a chance. Well, gives New York a chance to show pictures of some of the amazing fish that you have pulled out of the drink. And it gives me a chance to remind everybody that you're the one who came up famously with that gloss, the flight deck for James Kelly. The deck will be in tomorrow, unless the deck is taking off another Friday, like he's known to do. Wait, when was that, last Friday or this Monday? Or you never know. The deck was not in last Friday, but one of you were very clever and saw that he was in on Monday of the week. Not last Friday, came in Monday, and one of you said, what the hell is that guy doing here on a Monday, Rome? And the reason he was there on a Monday was because he took off Friday. So what I'm saying is Friday to Friday, I never know whether or not the deck is going to be here. But he's working remotely right now and listening. Yo, bro, text me up. Are you working tomorrow? Are you working remotely? Are you working out of state? Are you going to grace us with your presence? What's up, Deck? We need something to look forward to on Friday. The grind does include Friday, Deck, even for you. I've never heard a guy talk that much boat smack on this show. What is this, the LA Boat Show? Rebel tweets, Josh in Detroit might as well wrap his takes. May as well. All right, still to come. Golden State and Houston, I've got to get that out there. They played last night. That's a big game for a number of reasons. That's coming up next. Also, Eric Weddle, LA Rams DB. Eric Weddle back in SoCal. It was surprising when the Ravens let him go, but lands right on his feet with a Super Bowl contender. And I love him in that secondary. Eric Weddle coming up at 40 past. Telephone calls also still ahead. And my thoughts on Rockets, Warriors, and what that game last night means going ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
I know I've told you about this fight. I'm going to tell you about it again because it's a great matchup. We had Mikey Garcia on last week to hype the fight. Saturday night, it is the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. Errol the Truth Spence Jr. takes on Mikey Garcia for the World Welterweight title. Live from AT&T Stadium, Spence Jr. and Garcia. Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Again, I'm telling you, it's a good thing to spend money on. It's a great fight. It's a great matchup. Eric Weddle is coming up at 40 past, so that gives me about 5 minutes or so to recap what happened. So Eric in Orlando is the guy that glossed James Kelly the flight deck. It's great gloss. And that gives him, like, he banked a lot of goodwill with that email. That was a legendary, famous email. You walk off on that, you retire like a legend, like Gale Sayers or Jim Brown in their prime. You know, you get drunk with it and you want to try and get more of it and get that feeling over and over again. You stay in the game the way he has. But even then, I like this guy so much because of what he did to James Kelly that I give him a lot of rope. But something happened, and now he's getting murdered on TweetDeck for coming in with all that boat smack. And let me preface this. Understand that this cat tried to take a run at one of the most hated guys on the program, Matt in L.A. Now, when I say that, that's not me talking. I like Matt. I'm going to go on record with it. I like Matt in L.A. I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't take his phone call. I like Matt, but I'm going to suggest that maybe 99% of you hate his guts. So when a guy comes for Matt and goes in on Matt in L.A. and is getting the kind of hate that Eric is getting, it must have been a horrible call. Because everybody wants to go in on Matt. And a guy did, and it's going terribly for him. Because he called up and he did things like this.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat called First Light. It was featured in Marlin Magazine in 2018. And wait for it. It's a 65-foot Express Bridge Sport Fisher with twin V12 turbo diesels. And we crushed it last October. We dropped two. We lost one at the swivel. But we boated like three, and they're all in the 500-pound class range. So tell Matt to get his record straight.
Oh, bro. I'd love to defend you, Eric, and I like you, and you can call whenever you want, but bro, there's no defending that. They're coming for you with good reason. At I Guess I Will Swim tweets, the over-under is 8 minutes until Matt in L.A. comes in to sink Eric in Orlando's battleship. I'm old enough to remember. Remember those battleship commercials? You sunk my battleship. That was a badass game. Man, that was a kinder, simpler time. Before there was social, before there were cellular technology, we could just play battleship. That was a badass game. I liked that as a kid. Beaks is in. It brought Beaks out. Beaks in Studio City tweets, Eric, thanks for the boat story, bro. Tommy, the UPS guy, tweets, please run this chowd. And Hitman Canadian tweets, boat smack. Did submarines not want any of that? At GW1115 tweets, is this Eric dude from the Wicked Tuna Show? Nobody cares about his luxury fishing tub. Matt in Vancouver's back at Belligerent Nuck. And that was Things Nobody Cares About with Eric in Orlando. At M. Piazza's Back Knee tweets, and I quote, Eric is an effing loser. Mike D for three tweets, I think Eric's jungle pass has expired. See, that's a key point right there. I've given this guy a free pass. I've given this guy a cut the line pass. I've given this guy a, you know, the call's not that good, pass. I wonder if that's the end of that jungle pass. My man. I mean, there was no irony in that call. He was just all about it. Hey, man. Hey, Matt. Respect my super yacht. Respect my 65-footer, man. Get your facts straight. This says, damn. What the hell are all the smack-off calls supposed to talk about now that Eric in Orlando cleared up which boat he fishes on? Steven PHX. At Mike in Toledo tweets, wore Eric's boat getting lost in the Bermuda Triangle. Last chance. I've got Eric Weddle coming up next. If you've got something to say about Eric in Orlando and his boat, you want to say it right now. 1-800-636-8686. Avi, let me hear part of that one more time. Like I said, I've never seen, if the entire jungle hates Matt in L.A., I've never seen a guy go in on Matt and have it boomerang on him as badly as this particular call did for Eric in Orlando.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt?
Got that, Matt?
I fish on a boat called First Light. It was featured in Marlin Magazine in 2018.
Why didn't you say so,
and
bro?
And wait for it. It's a 65-foot Express Bridge Sport Fisher with twin V12 turbo diesels, and we crushed it last October. We dropped two. We lost one at the swivel, but we boated like three, and they're all in the 500-pound class range. So tell Matt to get his record straight.
All right, let me tell you something. I'm looking at a link right now. He name-dropped or magazine-dropped that boat and that story. I'm looking at it. First Light, the largest express boat to date for winter custom yachts. It's a nice boat now. It's a nice boat. Ooh, damn, look at that thing from the front. According to this, as with all winter boats, First Light is a cold, molded hull. Damn, Eric, you should have brought that up. The boat was built for a Florida family who enjoys travel and fishing and who were interested in stepping up from their current boat, a 52 Cabo. Damn, that's a big swing. That's strong. Oh, dang. This boat is powered by a pair of 1550 horsepower MAN 12-cylinder diesels. Actually, he did get into that. He did talk about that. Man, I wonder how fast that thing can go. Tell you what, man. Quote, this boat's stunning profile and sweeping shear line. Man, that's a badass boat. It also features a unique cockpit control station. There is that. Oh, and the teak-topped cockpit sports a full-sized fighting chair, transom fish box, and teak covering boards. Dude, this is bad. Eric, man, next time just show us a link to the story. Seamus27 tweets, I don't fish on boats. I fish on a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Seamus, that's a good point. He said, hey, Matt, I don't fish on boats. I fish on a boat. What?
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Let me tell you something, Matt. I don't fish on boats, bro. I fish on a boat. Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, Matt, how's that feel? No wonder you're not calling back, Matt.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
The one time you're not calling back, Matt, and you're smart. Stay down, Matt. Stay down, Matt. Stop trying to get up, Matt. Stay down, Matt. Hey, Rome. Eric in Orlando is in the Seattle Seahawk Jerry Rice stage of his jungle career. Lee in Vancouver. Hey, Matt, let me tell you something before you pick up that phone. Eric does not fish on boats, Matt. He fishes on a boat.
I don't fish on boats, okay, Matt? I fish on a boat.
Eric Weddle joins me when we come back. Time for a sports update. Here it is. Bottom of hour number three. Good news for Eric in Orlando. I've got an interview right now. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Having a great Thursday here in the jungle. We are joined by a two-time All-Pro. He is a six-time Pro Bowler. 220 tackles and 3 sacks and 10 interceptions in 3 seasons with Baltimore. He was the 37th pick overall in 2007 out of Utah, the pride of Alta Loma High School in Rancho Cucamonga. He is a friend of the program, and he is a safety with the Los Angeles Rams. Eric Weddle is my guest. Eric, welcome home. Great to have you. How are you?
Rome, my man. It's great to be back. Great to be back on the show, and shoot, back home, man. It's pretty exciting for me and the family.
My dude, I was going to say, as a guy from Rancho Cucamonga, what is it like when you hear yourself introduced as a member of the L.A. Rams? And Eric, before you answer, your father rooted for the Rams back in the day. So to get the introduction of what's going to be like running out of a tunnel in a Rams uniform playing for a team that Pops cheered for.
I mean, it's pretty surreal, quite honestly. I've had an unbelievable career and been blessed with so many things I've come across the last 12 years. But to come full circle and be able to join a franchise that not only my dad grew up loving, but I grew up watching, and to be able to put that uniform on, it's going to be pretty special, I'm not going to lie. And to be able to join a team that, you know, a few series away from winning the Super Bowl, they're right on the cusp. The last few years, got an amazing coaching staff, great organization. So it's an opportunity of a lifetime for me to give all I got to be a great player and a great leader and help this team any way possible to seal the deal.
Eric Weddle joining us. There is so much good stuff in what you just said, and I want to follow you up on some of that. I want to ask you, though, Eric, at the end of the season and after the loss to the Chargers, you had made the point that you wanted to play in Baltimore or you probably looked to retire. Where were you emotionally at that point?
Well, you know, thinking at that stage and that point, I had such a rough offseason the year before, and the 2 years prior were really hard on me physically. Mentally, I'm always game. I'm as sharp as it gets and love the challenge and love competing. But physically, honestly, Rome, up until a week before we returned mid-April for workouts, I couldn't even run,
wow,
let alone work out.
Wow.
And it was a struggle, man. I was getting out of bed, trying to go work out and work out the way I know I need to get ready and prepare for the season. I just couldn't do it. And finally, I hit a corner. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm not back with Baltimore and I feel the same way as I did last offseason, I just don't think I can go through it again. Honestly, just being honest, I'm an honest guy. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. So that's where I was at that point. And then obviously as time went on offseason, I didn't have a torn shoulder the year before. I didn't have as many banged up plays that I played in. So I feel great. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I played basketball 5-on-5 for 2.5 hours, which I couldn't do at all last offseason. So I'm physically ecstatic that I'm feeling great for once, and the opportunity of a lifetime to continue my dream. I mean, I'm in a great, great place mentally and physically.
Eric Weddle joining us. That makes sense to me, right? So mentally, you're already sharp, but physically, you're in such a better spot and then less need. So this all comes down, and then you hit the market, and there's a lot of teams. Lots and lots of teams are interested in you, but less need reaches out to your agent, David Cantor. What happened at that point?
Well, they reached out initially and wanted to, you know, when a guy gets released, it was a bit unsuspecting by the majority of the league. No one really thought I was going to be out as a free agent a week before free agency starts. So all the teams go back, they reassess your play, what you did on film, and then they decide if they want to see if you're interested and go after you. So from the teams, the Rams were definitely high on the priority of teams that I feel like I could go make a difference, fit in their scheme, obviously on the cusp of winning a bunch of games. And initially they weren't the first trip I was going to take. And then they circled back and they were adamant about getting me first. They wanted me in the building, meet everybody and go from there. So once that change of, that change happened, they were my first trip and I kind of switched everything around from that point on. And needless to say, it worked out.
Eric Weddle joining us. It did work out. Eric, one more thought about the Ravens. As you point out, a lot of teams around the league were surprised that you were available prior to free agency. Listen, you understand this. You've done this a long time. It's a business. You know this. But you were coming off a huge season for the best defense in the NFL, and every teammate, opponent, and analyst that I had on this show last year talked about how you completely changed that defense. So knowing that and knowing the year you had, what was it like to hear from them that you might have to take a pay cut to stay?
Well, honestly, I had an amazing 3 years there. And when I met with Eric DaCosta, who I hold at a high regard, even now, I mean, I shot him a text with the signings because, I hold them in a high regard. And we just talked, we visited, we met for about an hour, and we got talking about me. He said most likely if they bring me back, it'll have to be at a reduced rate. And then we went back and forth of what I thought, what he thought, and I respect him for what he believes in and the direction he wants to go. And then when it came a month and a half later, he gave me a call and basically told me they were going to release me. So it wasn't so much a shock. I didn't really think it was going to happen, but I was preparing myself mentally that I've always prepared for the worst, hope for the best, and I was ready for it. And then you're at the decision, you're at a crossroads, right? You're going to be year 13. How do the other teams respect and see you as a football player, as what you bring on and off the field? So it was uncertainty of who wants you. At that point, no one could have called, and I'm out of a job and I'm retiring. So luckily there was interest, and I ended up signing with a team that is a great fit and can't wait to get started.
All right, so then as part of that process, Eric Weddle, my guest, as part of that process, you and Sean McVay. McVay spent a couple of hours together on Thursday, then 2.5 hours together on a Friday. What was that time like?
It was just amazing to get to know Coach McVay on a personal level. And even though it was a short time, 2 hours at the facility, then 3.5 hours at dinner with some other coaches, Wade Phillips, Whitworth met us, and then come back Friday morning and met for another 2.5 hours, just him and I solo, one-on-one. I was super impressed with the guy, with the guy behind the interviews and the TV, of how confident he is, how he demands the respect, but how he's still humble and his humility shows within a conversation. And that's hard to find. Most guys are ego, prideful individuals, but he's the complete opposite. And it really was, I admired that about him. And we got talking ball, talking values, talking scheme. I mean, it was like we had a relationship for years. It was like we were talking to ourselves. So it was great to visit and to build that rapport almost instantly. And then it became, geez, let's get this done and let's go win a championship.
I was going to ask you about that one part of the conversation, Eric, where he said to you, he wanted to know where you learned your intuition, your movements that you make on the field. What did you tell him, and what was that part of the conversation like?
Yeah, we're talking ball. He's got, plays and games that I was playing in and other people. And just talking about what I would do, what was I thinking, why I made a check, or why did I do this, and just talking back and forth. And he got to the point where he's just like, where did you learn how to play like this? And I said, look, I live, I learn, I make mistakes, and I kind of built what I am as a football player and as a man through how I've worked and how I study, how I prepare. And he just got to the point where he's like, there's no one like you in this entire league. And I said, yeah, that's what separates from me than other guys. Other guys are faster, stronger, do things that their scheme fits. But with me and what I do, there's not anyone that like that does it like me.
Eric Weddle, my guest. So, Eric, you mentioned this. You're going to join a team that was so close to winning a Super Bowl last year. How are you going to approach the mission this year, your mission?
I mean, honestly, my mission every year, whether it was in Baltimore, every year I played this game, I am out to earn the respect of my teammates, these coaches, and earn a starting job. Every day I'm out to compete, to work my tail off, and earn my role, earn my job. Nothing's given. It's never been given my entire life. I've always been second guess. I've always been tried to be pushed over for another guy and this and that. So my focus is just to go earn my role, earn my starting job. And at that point and at a time, my leadership, my work ethic, everything that comes with Eric Weddle will shine at that time. But I'm not going to come in and I got all the answers. Look, this team went to the Super Bowl without me. So there's still a lot of things and areas that I can learn that I can get better at and help my game and help me as a man, as a husband, as a father. So I'm just excited to get with my teammates and jump right in and shoot, help in any way possible and learn as I go.
He is a two-time All-Pro, a six-time Pro Bowler, the pride of Alton Loma High School in Rancho Cucamonga. I'm going to say a friend of the program, longtime friend of the program. Eric, welcome home. Appreciate you very much. Great to see you back here in SoCal, truly.
Always, my man. Thank you for having me on. Glad to be home and can't wait to make these fans in the city proud.
Eric Weddle. Congrats, Eric. Welcome home. Great to have you back. Eric Weddle, L.A. Rams safety, and he has come on this show his entire career and always shown up exactly like that. You know, if you have a guy like Sean McVay who sits you down, and he's not going to say this just to say it, if he says to you, there's not another guy like you in this league, that is the highest praise. I would have loved to have been there when those two guys start chopping it up and just talking ball. Eric Weddle, man, it's good to have him back. So good to have him back. And as I mentioned, Eric and Orlando benefited from that conversation. It broke that chain, at least momentarily. Huge call is coming up momentarily. This guy has been on hold the entire day. So let me get this in quickly. Joel in New Jersey. You made it in, Joel. What's up? How are you?
Well, I'm an old fan of yours, and the reason why I sat on hold for 2 hours is because I'm watching the show also. Love you, brother. I got to tell you, I love you, and I'm going to tell you how I love you and why I love you. Let me take you back. I always thought a great athlete was when I was in eighth grade and I hit that game-winning shot in the CYO Catholic League, and I was like eighth grade, seventh grade, game winner. I thought that was it. Then I got the job as a ball boy for the New Jersey Nets underneath the basket here at the Meadowlands where I live, right near the Meadowlands. I thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I got Dr. J's shorts and Larry Bird's sneakers and Isaiah Thomas' his shirt, and I thought that was the greatest thing. Then I became friends with a professional fighter. His name was Winky Wright. Got to walk him in the ring when we beat the snot out of Trinidad and took Trinidad's O away from him, and Shane Mosley got to walk him in the ring twice in Vegas. And Mandalay Bay. I thought that was the greatest thing, Jim. And then you and I did the same thing together. We went into the business of where real athletes live. We went into horse racing together. And if any of your people that listen want to real know what it feels like to win, to stand in the winner's circle, watching you a couple of times on TVG in the winner's circle. I loved you before it. But being a man and
damn, Joel, passionate. We got to finish this tomorrow, Joel. Put him on hold. Put him on hold. Up against it. Joel, you don't want to finish that call. You don't want to hear the end of that. Hit me up. Huge call brought to you by the fight game that he's talking about. Errol the Truth Spence Jr. taking on Mikey Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship. Live from AT&T Stadium. Spence Jr. versus Garcia. Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view.